Tragedy is one of the most difficult topics to deal with. But we have to know that it's not a new topic. That all of the questions that we ask, how could God have allowed tragic things to happen, bad things happening to good people? We have to know that this is not a new question. And if you look at sources number 1, 2, and 3 of the source sheet, we will see just how old and how difficult the question is. And we will also see that on a certain level it's unanswerable. Yirmiyahu, Tzadik ata Hashem, Ki yariv alecha, elecha. God, you are righteous, and I hesitate to quarrel with you. Ach mishpatim adaber, I have to talk honest, we have to talk justice. Madua derech rishayim tzalecha. How is it that evil people, their path succeeds? Shalev kol bogdei vaged, and those who oppose you, have it tranquil. Yirmiyahu is questioning, how is it that good things happen to bad people? And the Gemara in Brachos, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi, Shlosha Dvarim Bikesh Moshe Milifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God was, so to speak, Kiviyochel, in a good mood. He tells Moshe, 3 wishes. What would you like to know? And God, Moshe gave 3 requests. And according to one opinion, God acceded to the requests. And one of the requests was, Bikesh lehodio drachav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wanted to know how God runs the world. And according to this opinion, nitan lo, he got an answer. Shenemer hodieni na drachecha. He asked God, inform me how do you run the world? Amar lefanav ribono shel olam, nema yesh tzadik v'tovlo, yesh tzadik v'ralo, yesh rasha v'tovlo, yesh rasha v'ralo. That there are righteous people that it's good for them, righteous people it's bad, evil people it's good, evil people it's bad. This is not the question that many of us have. Our question is why bad things happen to good people. Somehow or other, we never question why good things happen to good people. Because we think it's our due that God should give us good. But in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu's question was much more complex. Moshe Rabbeinu's question was, there's no consistency. You have righteous people, wonderful, but righteous people, tragedy. You have evil people, wonderful, evil people, tragedy. There's no consistency. And according to one opinion, whatever, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him an answer. But pliga de Rabbi Meir, but this argues on Rabbi Meir. De'amar Rabbi Meir, shtayim nitnulo. 2 of Moshe's requests were granted. The achat lo nitnulo, nitanlo. But the 3rd request was not granted. Of course, the 3rd request was to understand this inconsistency of how God runs the world. Shenemar, God's response was, Chanoti es asher achon, I will favor those who I show favor to. Afal pisha eino hagun. That's not in the pasuk. That's God saying, even though the person may not be deserving, I show mercy. Even though virichamti et asher arachem, afal pisha eino hagun, I have mercy on those who may not deserve it. Vayomer, and here's the real answer: lo tuchal lirot et panai. You can't see the face. You can't see my face. Meaning, you can't know while you are in human form how I run the world. It's something that's inaccessible. So it's not very comforting to us, but at least we're in good company in asking the question. And finally, we have Eov. Madua rishaim yichyu atku gam gavru chayil zaram nachon lifneem imam tzatzem leineem. Eov is asking, why is terrible things happening? So, the question has been asked. So, when we say we can't understand we have to understand why we can't understand, and there is obviously certain elements that we can understand, and we're going to see some sources to try to give us a little clarity on this most vexing and perplexing question. The first foundational thing we have to know when we're confronted with this very disturbing observation of how the world appears to run is source number four. The defining Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, the defining Mishnah of how this world is set up. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Ha'olam Hazed Domeh L'Prozdor. This world is an entryway. Bifnei Ha'olam Haba. It's an entryway leading towards the next world. Hatkein Atzmecha B'Prozdor Kedei Shetikanes L'Traklin. Our job here is to prepare ourselves in the entryway so that we can go into the banquet hall, to Olam Haba. So when we view this world as a temporary, preparatory state, so already we have to realize that we can't apply the same kinds of standards and expectations we have in a world where the gratification is tangible and immediate. Source number five, the Derech Hashem, it's a long source where the Ramchal explains that the way that we prepare ourselves in this world to enter the next world is through free-willed choice in order for us to own perfection, to make choices for good over evil. And says the Ramchal, in order for that to happen, in order for there to be free choice, there has to be choice. Henry Ford, when the first Model T's came out in the 1920s, so he advertised that you can have any color you want, as long as it's black. You can't have choice if there aren't options. Says the Ramchal, therefore... We'll start at the second line. I'm going to do it directly in the English. Different situations are required among the population, each being a challenge and a test, with each dimension of bad being presented, with man having the opportunity to be strong in rising to oppose it. There have to be wealthy people and poor people, sick people and rich people, different situations, so that the human being can rise to the occasion, can show compassion, that in the face of suffering, man has the ability to respond, but man also has the option of creating that suffering. That's free choice. It's one of the deep philosophical issues that God has turned over to man, free choice. So there has to be the possibility of evil happening. And it's mentioned in the Kabbalistic literature that it's God withdrawing to allow man that choice. So we shouldn't blame God when man makes bad choices. The whole world is set up to give man that option. And that's the preparation for the next world. Man has to be able to choose good. And when there is tragedy, man has to be called upon to confront. Famous line from Rabbi Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, a Jew can never ask after something happens. A Jew can't ask on a national level why. A Jew has to ask, what now? What am I supposed to do in the face of this difficult situation? That is how we earn our eternity. That's the prozdor, that's the preparation in the entryway that leads us to the next world. And we have to know source number six. Hatsur tamim po'alo ki chol drachav mishpat. God's actions are perfect. Keil emuna ve'in avel tzadik v'yasharu. This is the perfect God. This is one of the difficulties. If God is omnipotent and God is all kind, this was Eov's problem. How can God allow tragic things to happen? And one of the things we have to clarify is that tragic things do happen. There's a mistake in looking at tragedy and saying, no, it's really good. You just don't see how good it is. That's cruel. You can't tell that to somebody who went through the Holocaust as well as any other tragedy. And in fact, the halachic literature reflects exactly that distinction between good things and tragic, terrible things. Says the Gemara in Brachos, source number 7. The Mishnah, and then we'll see another Gemara about the topic. Al bishorot tovot omer baruch hatov v'hameitiv. On good tidings, there's a bracha. Hatov v'hameitiv. God provides good. Al bishorot ra'ot, but on bad tidings, omer baruch dayan ha'emet. There's a different bracha. Chayev adam livarech al hara'a. We have a bracha for terrible things. We have a bracha for tragedy. Shenemar, v'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'shnei yitzarecha yitzer tov yitzer hara kol nafshecha afilu hu notel et nafshecha. You give God a blessing for life that we were given and what we were able to accomplish in this world. And obviously, if God takes us from this world, it means that we have accomplished our purpose and we have passed through the entryway to the banquet hall, to the eternal existence. B'chol me'odecha, b'chol mamoncha, b'chol me'odecha, b'chol mida u'mida shehu moded licha. Every measure that God has for you, everything that God delivers to you, whether it's better or less better, have a modelo. We have to thank Him. We have to thank Him for whatever He gives us, whatever we have, and the opportunity to be alive to earn our eternity. And the Gemara in Psachim gives us really confidence in not being able to answer the question. Famous pasuk, we say it in davening and we don't realize what we say because we roll through it and it's in Aleinu and it's at the very end of davening and everybody's rushing out the door. V'haya Hashem lemelech al kol ha'aretz. God is going to be the king over the entire world. Bayom hahu, in that future date in the Messianic age, yeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad. God is going to be one, and His name is going to be one. In the future, in the Messianic age, asks the Gemara the obvious question. Otu ha'idna lav echad hu? Chas v'sholom, what does that mean? Today God isn't one. He's only going to be one in the future, but now chas v'sholom, there are multiple gods. How could you say such a thing? God is one now. So what does it mean by yom ha'hu in the future? Amar Rabbi Acha bar Chanina, lo ke'olam hazeh olam haba. This world and the next world have one fundamental difference. Olam hazeh, in this world, al bisorot tovot omer baruch hatov ve'ameitiv, al bisorot ra'ot omer baruch dayan ha'emet. In this world, we have two separate brachot. Our picture of the world, so to speak, is bifurcated. There's good things, and we make a bracha for the good things. And there are bad things, and we make a different bracha for the bad things. Lo'olam haba, kulo hatov v'hameitiv. In the next world, everything will be tov v'hameitiv. In the next world, we will see how it looks good. But in this world, it's bifurcated. In this world, it's not consistent. And there's another Gemara that talks about Hashem echad u'shmo echad, that God's name will be one, meaning we will see the unity. But in this world, we don't see it. And we have to know that that's the reality. It's a limitation that we have in this world. But we have to acknowledge that limitation and not deny it and not pretend that it doesn't exist. Let's see how God answers Iyov at the end of the Sefer. Iyov had tremendous tragedy, and he complained about it, and he questioned God, he challenged God. And sources number 10 and 11 have God's response to Iyov. And basically, what God says is, the world is a little more complicated than you think. Were you around when I created the world? Do you understand life? We'll see in source number 10. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell if you have understanding. Who defined its dimension if you know? Who delineated it with a line? And then in Perek Lametet, Hayadata eid ledet ya'alei sala cholel ayalot tishmor. Do you understand anything? Can you predict anything about nature? You don't begin to understand the world. How are you asking questions on me? God says to Iyov. And then at the end, God comforts Iyov and says that despite all these difficulties, you have a relationship with me and we have a relationship with God. Maybe one of the remedies that the Gemara says, I don't have that source here, but it's a famous Gemara. It's actually just in the couple of weeks ago in the Parsha. The Gemara says that there were three people who were consulted by Paro in Egypt what to do with the Jews. There was Bilam, there was Iyov, and there was Yitro. Paro consulted with them. Shlosha hayu ba'ota etza. What do we do with the Jews? Bilam ya'atz. Bilam gave Paro advice on how to deal with the Jews. And you know, it's not a new thing, the plan of final solutions and how do we get rid of the Jews. And Bilam was right in there with a plan for what to do. Iyov shasak. Iyov was silent. He didn't say anything. And Yitro barach. Yitro ran away. Says the Gemara, each one received appropriate recompense for what they did. Bilam gave advice. He was killed. And right in Parshas Balak, Bilam is killed by the Jews. He gave the Eitzah. There is, God avenges those ultimately who try to destroy us. Iyov was afflicted with Yisurim, with suffering. And Yitro merited that his great-great-grandchildren were members of the Sanhedrin. Ask Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, I understand Bilam. I understand why Bilam got what he got. And I understand why Yitro got what he got. Bilam gave advice to destroy the Jews, got executed. Yitro ran away, he got a reward. What about Iyov? Why did he get punished? He didn't do anything. Says Reb Chaim, what happens when you have suffering? When you're afflicted with the kind of pain and difficulty that Iyov had, you scream and you cry. Does it help? No. But it's a natural reaction that when you are pained, you cry. Iyov heard what Paro is planning. He heard what Bilam is advising, and he kept quiet. So God inflicts suffering and Iyov cries. Why are you crying, Iyov? It doesn't do any good. And that was Iyov's response. Well, what did you want me to do? Paro is going to do what he's going to do. They're not going to listen to me. So what purpose is there for me to say anything? Says Reb Chaim, that means it didn't hurt you. You weren't in pain. Because when we're in pain, we cry, even if it doesn't help. Says Reb Chaim, this is the concept of nosei bo'olim chaveiro. There are times when we can't do anything about it. But the question is, do we feel for another Jew? Do we feel the pain? And too often we're insulated from the pain of another Jew and we say that's their problem. It's not my problem. And therefore God sometimes has to remind us that we have to feel the pain of another Jew. That's source number 9. Omar Rav of Itamar of Chizda, there are a number of lessons we're going to learn from this source. Roe Adam She Yisurin Ba'in Alav. Person sees Yisurin, suffering is befalling him. So why does God inflict suffering? Sometimes suffering is a result of a man-made decision. But sometimes suffering is a natural disaster. It happens where it's clear that somehow or other God seems to be organizing. So what is a person supposed to do when he is victimized by suffering? Yifashpesh b'masov. First thing is, he has to examine his actions. Because sometimes God sends us painful situations as a wake-up call. The Ramchal in Derech Hashem speaks about this at length, that one aspect of suffering is simply to wake us up, to make us realize that something needs fixing. And God ultimately wants us to do tshuva from the things we do wrong. So yifashpesh b'masov, you have to examine your actions and see, maybe God is sending me a message. Maybe something needs fixing. Continues the Gemara, pishpesh v'lo motza. Person examines their actions and they didn't find anything. Now what does that mean? The person is so perfect that when something happens and he examines his actions, he says, no, it couldn't be because of anything I did wrong. So that's of course impossible. Ein tzadik ba'aretz asher ya'ase tov v'lo yechta. There's no such thing as a righteous person in this world who doesn't do something wrong. So what does it mean, pishpesh v'lo motza? And I believe the explanation is that he can't find something to associate with the Yisurim. God just doesn't inflict suffering for the sake of suffering, pain for the sake of pain. But if it's a wake-up call, you got to be able to wake up. And if the wake-up call has nothing to do with what you're doing wrong, then it's not a wake-up call. So pishpesh v'lo motza, I understand to mean that you examine your actions and can't find something wrong that you're doing. You may be doing a lot of things wrong, but that are connected to what's happening to you. So then it says, yitle bebitl Torah. Then it must be connected to a more global problem of not having the fidelity to Torah the way you're supposed to. And it continues, im tola v'lo motza, and if you can't even associate it with that, you're on such a high level, now we're already into the stratosphere of tzaddikim, then biyadua sheyisurim shel avahem. Then it's some kind of a purification process. Shenemar ki et asher yehav Hashem yochiach. This is very uncomfortable to think about unless you realize what we said at the beginning, that this world is the entryway to eternity. And sometimes God purifies the person in such a way that he can go in to the pros, to the traklin, to the banquet hall, to the olam haba, in such a purified state. There's no question that every person who went through the Holocaust was a purification process. Famous stories of many of the Gedolim that they viewed somebody, famous story with Rav Moshe Feinstein, a woman had a number on her arm. Rav Moshe Feinstein held that she's a holy woman, irrespective of anything else. There's such a thing as a purification process. Again, it's hard to emotionally deal with unless you realize two things. First of all, God puts us in difficult situations to challenge us to overcome them, not to lose our faith, to work, to fix, to rebuild. It's an amazing, miraculous thing how Holocaust survivors rebuilt their lives and became super successful, whether it's in the physical, secular, material world or in the religious world. And then there's the idea of just purification. And that's what this source is telling us. Just one thing, you shouldn't make a mistake. That it says, when a person sees Yisurim coming on him or herself, it says, Yefashpesh b'ma'asav. The person who is suffering the difficulty has to examine their actions. It doesn't say that when you see somebody else having difficult situations, you should examine their actions. And this is one of the horrendous things that people try to explain the Holocaust. Oh, let me tell you why this happened. It happens to be a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says it's absolutely prohibited to do such a thing on an individual level. The Gemara says that when you see a bad thing happening to somebody, it's prohibited to say to them, oh, let me tell you what you're doing wrong. Let me tell you why it happened. So the Gemara says it's prohibited to do. And again, it's alluded to in this Gemara is that it's something that an individual has to introspect. We have Yisurim, we have suffering that is to educate us. Yefash pesh b'masov. We have Yisurim that are purification. And there's also a concept of Yisurim on a national level. That the nation, the Jewish people as a nation, has a certain mission, and when we veer off the mission, there are national consequences. That's written about twice in the Torah, the end of Vayikra and in the end of Dvarim, the Tochacha. And we have to also understand that there are national tragedies, and national tragedies are always a wake-up call to keep us focused on the mission. And again, that while we can't impute any specific explanations for specific historical occurrences, we have to know that on a global level, the Jewish people are held to a high standard by God, and we have no access to the individual. The individual, we don't know why the individual receives the things that they receive. But the nation is always held accountable, and when the nation veers off track, then there are consequences. Let's just see the last source, source number 12. A number of different ways to explain this pasuk in Mishle. Ivelet Adam tesalef darko. That a person corrupts his path, ve'al Hashem yizaf libo, and then he gets angry at God for the consequences. We have free choice. Man has free choice. Many times we, as individuals, are victims of that free choice of man. Many times we are victims of our own bad choices. And that's an ivelet adam, a stupidity or a foolishness of a person, that it gets him off track. Don't blame God. Take responsibility. And when you see something wrong, when you see tragedy in the world, it's your job to do something about it. It's a challenge to us to rise to the occasion. It has to be that way. Otherwise, there's no free will. There has to be the possibility of man doing terrible, corrupt things so that man has a choice and he's held responsible. And then we as bystanders don't react like Eov, it's not my problem. but in fact we take responsibility to try to help and make it better. There is one other aspect which we should be aware of. Again, difficult Kabbalistic concept which is used to explain some natural tragedies, earthquakes, tsunamis, natural disasters, I think it's called. This is in the Kabbalistic literature, and that is that when man behaves in a corrupt way, there are spiritual transcendent impact on a cosmic spiritual level in the higher spiritual worlds. It's pollution. We know what air pollution is. Okay, global warming, climate change, whatever, whether you want to believe it, you don't want to believe it, something's going on. And it has an effect, even though you don't see it right away. Well, there is spiritual pollution when mankind behaves in a corrupt way. When mankind is corrupt, whether you want to think of Sodom, or you want to think of the Migdal Bavel, the Dor HaPalaga, you want to think of all of the corrupt, tragic, horrendous things that man perpetrates on other people. So that creates spiritual pollution in the world. And that has spiritual consequences in the upper world, where it eventually gets so polluted that it has to be cleansed, and it has an effect on the physical world, and natural disasters is the cleansing process. This is in the Kabbalistic literature, and then it's part of the natural system. It's on a certain level can be interpreted as quasi-random. Again, it's hard to understand what does it mean, random, when God is running the world. It's a very difficult concept that the Rambam and the Ramban argue about. But pollution on a moral level precipitates physical destruction as a cleansing process. And we also have to be aware that such a thing exists. Again, we can't understand the equations, but it all comes back to man's free choice. It all comes back to man's behavior. I think one of the lines that people use, where was God during the Holocaust? The response is, where was man? Man precipitated the Holocaust. There's no question that behind the scenes we have a quasi-Purim story. If you read all the history of things leading up to the Holocaust, that there were lots of pieces in place before, in the 10 to 15 years before 1939, that were going on in the world that were very Purim-like, where things were set as they were Purim, set to lead to tragedy and destruction. Purim, miraculously, God inverted everything, and it looks like in 1939, he let things roll. We don't understand why, but this is part of the way the world is set up as a prozdor, as an entryway. And if we don't look at the world as being here for our gratification and our right to enjoy the world, I'm entitled. You'll notice Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't bothered explicitly by the bad things happening to good people. He was bothered by the inconsistency. How come it's so random? And God said, you can't understand. And God said to Eov, where were you when I created the world? Were you a part? Were you involved here? Do you understand how the world was created? So we have to know that there is a world, and we're here to make choices, and we have challenges. And in the face of tragedy, we have to make the special bracha for tragedy. Dayan ha'emet, there is a just God. Hatsur tamim pa'lo. And then it's our job to try to fix it. That's the only way we can deal with bad things, is our challenge to try to make them better.